Namanda vatsu 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 namanda.
I'd like to begin this morning by reading the third of Amida Buddha's 48 vows, expressing his deep intention to liberate all beings from suffering through the pure land of his great wisdom and compassion. Amida Nyōrai no Shijūhachi Gan no naka no 3番目 を拝読してから始まりたいと思います。I invite you all to join me in Gassho. ご一緒に Gassho をしましょう。If when I attain Buddhahood, the humans and devas in my land should not all be the color of genuine gold, may I not attain the perfect enlightenment. おはようございます。 Good morning, everyone. Did you notice that I switched it up a little bit this morning? It's wonderful to be back home for me. And I've been on the road a lot this last month, really. And so it's great to be kind of settling back into a regular routine of Sunday services here at home. I think, you know, I came here about 6 months ago, and then I think going out a few times and then coming back, I really feel like, oh, okay, this is my home now. I'm coming home. 私は6ヶ月前からここに移動となって、で、この1ヶ月ぐらいは結構外でご講師にご縁がいただいて呼ばれたことがあって、で、ようやくここ帰ってきた、あ、ここ家だという気持ちが溢れてきました。So, this is April, so we're here in April. We had our big service at the beginning of the month. Does anyone remember what that big service we had was 2 weeks ago?Anyone remember? Yeah? Do you remember one? Hanamatsuri, that's right. That's right. So Hanamatsuri, what is Hanamatsuri all about? What is that service all about? Hanamatsuri, what are we celebrating? The fact that my son didn't knock over the Hanamido? I was nervous about that. But Hanamatsuri wa nan no omairi desu ka? What is it about?The birth of the Buddha, right? It's a birth of the baby Buddha. So during Hanamatsuri, we often think about the story of the Buddha's life, right? And one of the things we think about is how he left home, right? The Buddha, when he was 29 years old, he had a wife and a son, but he decided that he really needed to seek the path to truth. So he went out. He left his home. He left his family behind.He gave up all of his stuff, and he said, I'm going to spend all my time trying to understand what is really true. So he spent his time meditating, he spent his time studying, he worked very hard, and he was gone for a long time. It took him 6 years to become enlightened, right? で、Hanamatsuri の時によく釈迦様の生涯を考えて、6年間外を出て、ずっと9度悟りを求めたということですね。And so he left home, but did you know that eventually he went back home? 家を出たけど、ようやく家に帰ったことがあったんですね。So today I want to talk a little bit about what happened on the day that he went back home after having been gone for many years. So he went home and he came back eventually. Do you know what his dad did for a living? What was the Buddha's father? What was his job? Can anyone tell me what the Buddha's father's job was? What did he do?
He was a king.
He was a king, right? He was a king, and he was the leader of the Shakya clan, this clan. So his father was a king, okay? And so since ancient time in India, there were kind of four groups of people depending on what your family did for a living. Okay, there were four groups of people. And everybody in a certain family had the same kind of job. So it's a little different than our society now, where you know, you go to school and you can say, okay, I want to be a doctor, so I'll study, you know, the things I need to do, medicine and you know, biology and so forth, so that I can be a doctor. Or you can say, you know, I want to be a firefighter, so I'll learn how to fight fires. Or you could say, oh, I want to be a Buddhist priest, right? So I'll be a minister, and so I'll study, you know, study the things you need to know to be a minister. Back in the Buddha's day, what you did when you grew up was what your dad did, okay? And so if your dad was a king, like the Buddha's dad was a king, right? Then you were expected that you would be a king, okay? So that was one group. There was a group of people that were called the Kshatriyas, and they were the kind of the kings and the warriors, like people who were in the army, okay? Then there was another group that was even considered to be even higher than them. They were called the Brahmins, and they were priests and scholars, okay? So you had the group of the Brahmins on top, and they were said to be like the head, the, you know, the brains of the society. And then you had the shoulders and the arms. That was the Kshatriyas, the kings and the warriors, okay? Then you had the belly. The belly. What do you think the belly? What job do you think those people did?
Farmers.
Actually, the belly were the merchants. The merchants. The people who gathered all of the things that other people made, and they would sell them and buy them. Things like that. Okay, so that was one group. And then there was another group, the farmers. The farmers, they were said to be like the legs of the society, because they did all the work, right? And they were holding the society up. You had the people who were working, and they were oftentimes were the people who were working in the fields. You know, so you had the kind of the merchant class, and they were the people who owned the farms and managed the farms. And so, in that sense, they were the farmers. But the people who were actually out there doing the work, building and working and hoeing the fields, those were the people. They were called the Shudras. And they were like the legs of the society. So you have the head, the arms, the belly, and the legs. Okay, and that was the way the society was organized. And if you were in one group, you didn't get to decide to go up to another group. Okay? And if you were a woman, you would marry someone who did what your dad did. So if your dad was a warrior or a king, you would marry a warrior or a king. If your dad was a farmer or a merchant, you would marry a farmer or merchant. If your dad was one of those people working in the fields, then you would marry somebody who worked in the fields. That would be the way it worked in those days. Okay, so the Buddha, he was from a family of people who were the warriors and the kings. Everybody in his family, all his cousins, all his uncles, they all kind of did the same job. They all did the same kind of job. And that was the way that their society worked at that time. It's a little different than our society. And there was even one group that was kind of below those other groups, and they were considered to be not even really people at all. And there are even today in India, there are some people who still face that kind of discrimination, although the situation has improved a lot. まあ、広大インドから、まあ、今でもちょっと制度が残ってるんですけど、こういうキャスト制度があって、その聖職者、お坊さんとか、学者が一番上で、そして、社会の頭、そしてこの国王とか、軍隊に入ってる人は2番目。それは、まあ、バイシャというんですけど、社会の腕。または社会のお腹というのはそういう、まあ、商人とか農業、まあ、農家の人ですね。で、その一番足というのはこの、まあ、シュドラという社会の、まあ、労働をする畑に働いている人たちとか物を作ったりする人たち。Okay? So the Buddha's family was pretty high up on the scale, right?仏様、釈迦様の家族は結構高い方ですね。But, you know, they had lots of people who worked for them. And there was one person who worked for them in particular I'd like to talk about today. His name was Upali. 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 そして、まあ、Upali という、まあ、釈迦様の家族の、まあ、お使いの人がいました。And Upali's job, he was from a family of barbers. Of barbers. people who cut hair for a living and trimmed beards. So where do you think they ranked on the scale? They're pretty low. They were considered to be pretty low because they served the people in these other groups. And so his job was to cut the hair and trim the beards of the people in the Buddha's family. And so he heard a lot. Has anybody here go to a barber shop? Yeah, once in a while. I don't. My wife cuts my hair, as you can. But she does a very good job, so you wouldn't even know it, right? But if you go to a barber shop, do you ever tell things about your life to the person who's cutting your hair? Yeah. And when I was growing up, the person who cut hair in my town, I grew up in a small town, there were only one or two hairdressers. And this woman knew everything about everybody else's business, right? Because they sit around, all day they're cutting people's hair, but they're listening to them tell about their lives. And so she had all the information because people, overhearing all these conversations. And I think it's true for men and women barbers that, people get there and they get to be friends with their barber. They tell them all about their lives. And so they have all the information about what's going on. And that's what Upali was like because he got to hear everybody talking while he was cutting their hair. And so he heard this rumor that a young man who had left home many years ago was going to be coming back. ま、パリはサンパツ氏でしたけど、そのサンパツ氏はいろいろな人の情報を聞くんですね。で、パリというのは、こういう以前に、こう家を出て何年前か家を出て息子が帰ってくるという話を聞いた噂が聞いたんですね。He heard something very interesting. He heard about this young man. He said they used to call him Siddhartha. When he left, everybody called him Siddhartha. But now they call him Shakyamuni. The sage of the Shakya clan. He has this very, very impressive title now. And they say that he carries with him a treasure that reveals and relieves the suffering of all people. And so Upali thought, ooh, I'd really like to meet this guy. I wonder if I'll get to cut his hair. Right? And so he was very excited and very much looking forward to this. And on the day that, so he heard, okay, he's coming tomorrow. And so Upali had heard the day he was coming. And so he went out and he went out and there's a big crowd of people lining the streets to see this famous son. The son of the king was returning and he was bringing with him a great treasure. So Upali was there waiting as he came. And as he walked down the street, everybody was sort of crowding around. He could see that. He was holding something. He said, oh, that must be the treasure. So he's kind of looking and peering. And he was just a young boy at the time, maybe about 8 or 9 years old. And so he couldn't see. So he's kind of craning and trying to get a view. But, he just couldn't see. And so he kept running along through the crowd, trying to follow, trying to catch up, trying to go where the Buddha was going. So he kept following and following right up to the palace gates. And the Buddha, of course, passed freely into the gates of his old home, into the palace. Shakyamuni, Siddhartha had returned. So Upali, not really paying attention, was just kind of trying to follow him. And he got right to the palace gates when one of the guards slammed the spear down in front of his face and said, who do you think you are? You can't just walk in here. This is the palace of the king. This is the Shakya king's palace. Anybody just can't walk in here, especially not you. You're just a lowly barber. And so Upali was very frightened, very disappointed. He thought, there must be some way that I can see this treasure. So he climbed up a tree overlooking the main courtyard where they were meeting. He climbed up a tree and peered in through a window and saw the meeting that was taking place. He was up in this tree and he was looking and he could just barely hear what they were saying. And he heard all of the Buddha's relatives were there waiting. And they said, okay, you've been gone a long time. You abandoned this family. You abandoned your wife and your son. You went off. And there's a rumor that you've gained some great treasure. And so what do you got to show for it, right? You just took off and just left. We haven't heard from you since. And we want to know, what have you been doing? What have you gained in all this time that you've been gone? You left your place as a prince. What have you got that could be as good as what you had when you were here? The Buddha said, I do indeed have a great treasure. Do and greed have a great treasure? して、まあ、釈迦様が家に帰って、ずっといなかったから、親族の方々は、あなたどこにいたでしょう？何をしてたの？いろいろ聞いたでしょ？あなたが宝物を持ってると聞くんですけど、この国王王子の生活より素晴らしい宝物があるかと聞くんですね。Said, and it is greater than what I had here, and it's something that I'll freely share with all of you. What I have realized is the truth. I have realized that which is unchanging. I've realized the way to be free from suffering. そして私の宝物は真実である。苦しみから解放できる道である。So he began to tell them the truths, things like the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, this way in which a person can live to be free from selfishness, to realize peace and happiness in their heart. そしてこういう苦しみから解放できる死体八正道、この誠の教えを説かれました。So he said, it's a very simple teaching, but it's very difficult to realize in your life. You have to be willing to give up the things that you cling to. そしてこういう教えは簡単なものですけど、自分が執着するものを手を離す必要があると言いました。So Pali thought, you know, he heard this and he thought, wow, this is something unusual. I've never heard anything like this. Expected him to have a big pile of gold, maybe some jewels in there. But all he had were these words. At the same time, when I hear these words, I feel a great peace and happiness that I've never known before. And so Upali went home and he thought about that. He thought about that teaching, and the Buddha's cousins, they thought about it too. And a group of them said, you know, it's true, he has found something very special, and we'd like to follow him and find that as well. So they said, we too will follow the Buddha. And so they made a resolution. They said, okay, this group of us, we're all going to do as Siddhartha did. We're going to leave all of our precious things behind, and we're going to leave home. We're going to go and join his community to study with the Buddha. And so the next morning, they summoned Upali, and Upali went to see them, and they said, okay, you are our barber. We'd like you to shave off our hair and our beards, because we're going to join the community. We're going to join the Sangha and be disciples of the Buddha, Shakyamuni. そして、その翌日は Upali を呼んで、みんな、散髪式をして、そして、Shakyamuni 仏の弟子となる、その仲間に入るつもりで。And so Upali, he was shaving their heads and their beards one by one, and he saw that they were beginning to look like disciples of the Buddha. And as he watched them, he started crying. He started crying. And they saw him crying, and they thought, oh no, you know what? He's worried that he's not going to have any way to make money if we all leave. He's not going to have a job anymore. This guy's worried he's going to be out of his job. So why don't we give him all of our clothes and all of our jewelry? These things are worth a lot of money. And he'll be okay. Then he'll know that he'll be okay, that he'll have a livelihood. So they made a big pile of all their beautiful silk robes and their gold and jeweled jewelry. And they said, okay, you know, we understand that you're concerned about not having any money and not having a livelihood. So we're going to give you all of these things. So don't worry, okay? And Upali said, no, 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 no. These things will just make me more attached to this world. They'll just make me further away from the freedom that I would like to realize. Upali said, please let me go with you. Let me join you as a disciple of the Buddha. So Upali は、その仲間が宝物を全部 Upali にあげようとしたら Upali が泣いて、いや、それがいらない。一緒に仏弟子の仲間に入れてくださいと言いました。What do you think they said?They said, no way, no way a lowly barber like you could join a club that we belong to. We're the kings, we're the princes. We belong to the elite clubs. We belong to the exclusive country club. Not just anybody gets to join our group. And so they left by another road. And Upali thought, well, if I show up with all this gold and jewelry, everyone's going to think I stole it. So he tied it to a tree, and then he took a back route. He ran another way, and he ran and he ran, and he caught up with, he got ahead of the group, and he got to where the Buddha was first. And he said, he got to the Buddha, and he said, I heard your teachings yesterday. I'm just the lowly barber of your family, but I'd like to join your group. And the Buddha said to him, this is very good. For my teaching is like a cool water that quenches the thirst of kings and peasants alike.
まあ、釈迦様が、ウパリが釈迦様のところに行って仏弟子に、させてくださいと言いましたら、釈迦様がようこそ、私の教えが冷たい水のようなもので、国王であっても、その下のものであっても、同じように喉を 残すことができます.
And so the Buddha welcomed him as a disciple. He gave him the robes and all that he needed, and Upali joined the group. And then later that day, this group of kings and princes arrived. And they showed up, and they didn't notice Upali because he looked different. He was in his robes. And so they said, please allow us to join your group, cousin. The Buddha said, of course, you're welcome. All are welcome who are sincere in their desire to seek the Dharma. He said, the first thing that we do when you join the Sangha is you must bow to all of the senior disciples. Anyone who is ordained before you, regardless of their age, is considered your elder. So you must bow down before them. They said, okay. So they bowed to the Buddha and his famous disciples one by one, till they got to the end of the line. Who was there? Upali, right? Like, what? You? How'd you get here? And they had to bow down before Upali, and they said, no way, no way, no way. We're not going to do this. You know, this is all wrong. The Buddha said to them, says, if you're really sincere, if you really want to seek the path to freedom, you must let go of your attachment to your class, your attachment to the idea that you're better than other people. Because truly, what makes a person noble is not his birth, but his words, his actions, and his thoughts. And when they heard that, they began to cry, and they felt so sorry, and they bowed deeply to Upali and apologized and said that, Upali, we now realize you've taught us a great lesson. And they looked up to him as a great teacher. And Upali went on, because of his sincerity and his dedication, to become known as the master of the Buddhist, the rules of the Buddhist community, how to be a good monk. Upali was one of the best monks there was, and everybody looked up to him and admired him. And this expresses the truth of the Buddha's teaching, that it doesn't matter whether what sort of job your parents do or what sort of situation you come from, that we can all realize perfect enlightenment. This is also expressed in that third vow of Amida Buddha, that all beings in the Pure Land are the same color. Oftentimes we look at people, and based on the way they dress or their skin color or their hairstyle, we make conclusions about them. But in the eyes of the Buddha, all of us, no matter what we look like, are equally precious. And that's why he says that in the Pure Land, all are the color of genuine gold.
So
I hope that you'll reflect on this story, reflect on what you're doing in your own life to live beautifully and to express your true path through your words, through your deeds, and through your actions.
そして自分の人生は行いと考え方と言い方で表してほしいと思います。
I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho.
南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿